Hello, everyone. Thank you for joining us in the episode 8 of the Site Reliability Engineer Practitioner Series. I'm your host, Suresh GP. I'm extremely glad and privileged to have today our esteemed guest, Jason Patterson, leading the Site Reliability Engineering discipline at Nationwide. A developer at heart, few roles that is being close to his heart at the last 3 years. Jason spent providing on-call support to Nationwide Specialty Auto platform. Those experiences and that pain energizes him in establishing a reliability focus that improves customer experiences. Credit to his team and partners across the organization. Over the past year, they have realized outage times of critical services drop 71% and monitoring coverage of those services increased to 95%. That is wow. Outside of the work, Jason and his wife have two young children and just completed adding a second story to their home to make room for their growing family. Thank you so much, Jason, for taking time today and being with us. I hope you're doing well and staying safe.
Oh, thank you. I'm excited to be here.
Excellent. So, give us a sense of how Nationwide has approached site reliability engineering. I mean, give us a little bit of a background context on how and where is the journey so far progressing with respect to Nationwide.
Sure, absolutely. I'll provide a little background, but really frame it in three pillars. First, anchoring site reliability engineering as a discipline, as a role, as a practice itself, and then demonstrating value, demonstrating our outcomes from it, and then eventually going to scale of how we approach the entire enterprise as we are a large organization supporting 2,600 apps in production, 500 of them are labeled critical in rough figures. So getting back to that, site reliability engineering, anchoring our presence actually started as part of our cloud migrations. It was a grassroots effort to say, hey, when we move to the cloud, we want to do so reliably. Once it started to take hold, it became a real thing and it started to expand beyond cloud migrations. And that's when it became critically important to establish it as a real role. So that's one of the elements we did is create site reliability engineering as a standalone title. That might not sound like a huge deal, but it was incredibly important, even though my team is very small. And at that point, it was, I believe, 6 people supporting an enterprise of over 10,000 IT associates. Thousands of them have the label software engineer. Wanted to make sure that these were recognized folks, that this was a title that was going to stand out on its own. And there was a level of expectation. There was a level of rigor that came with it. So we did go through and create that title, create that role, create that job description specifically for site reliability engineering. And it was really cool to see that show up even in our internal systems, but people to be able to label that because so often we add things to our title in internally to say, oh, I'm a software engineer focused on Java, or I'm a software engineer focused on COBOL. This was present in then all of our systems that you could see site reliability engineering was real, it was here, and it was a focused practice. From there, really setting the stage of the team, establishing the team. Like I mentioned, we started with only 6 people. We've been trying to grow as fast as possible, but the market is incredibly hot as well. And we'll go through some of those challenges as well. We're now a team of 12, but are making landmark results for the size of our team. And we'll talk more about how that is established. But we are a central team that's supporting across all those assets, across all those IT business units. And then finally, really with anchoring SRE is making sure that we had the tooling that was going to provide that the visibility, the ability for us to add instrumentation and to surface things, go down the mantra of SLOs, SLIs, that we're going to be able to bubble those up. And we're fortunate enough to have some world-class tooling in our suite. The challenge really has been in the level of adoption from our teams and helping them get there so such that, we're making the best use of those tools. That we're instrumenting our code bases so that errors actually flow through all the way to our log management, all the way through our observability platforms. That's one of the biggest eye-opening things that we found is those things sometimes aren't instrumented to the fact that, all right, our observability tools show there's no problem, even though we know there's a problem because you can't log into the site. So that was really the foundation in anchoring SRE, is to make sure that we had those dimensions available to us, and then we could go off to the races kind of to demonstrate that value. And that was one of the most important things to me. I have a background, helping with DevOps assessments, helping with CMMI certifications, some of those other elements. Certainly no lack of maturity models and evaluations, but we really wanted this not to feel like an outside audit, but to show that, hey, there is goodness that can come from this. We can improve. I love the mantra, we improve operations lives. We improve the lives of our customers by having our systems work. So that was really important, that our team members embed deeply, understand the assets, and show what better looks like through that hands-on effort. Of course, there's challenges with that, of course, with our breadth and depth of technology there. But that was critically important to make this real, that it wasn't something that was going to come at the side of these app dev teams, because they're being hit up by security, they're being hit up by currency. I mean, all these other dimensions to say, hey, we're here to show that there's a better, basically way to approach operations. And this can be the outcomes of this approach. And then finally, and this is where we're at now in many dimensions, is figuring out how to scale. Is, all right, we have this very small team that's working across the enterprise. How do we grow this and make this the way we operate our software, make that core expectation? And with that, we're looking to establish this role within our different business partner areas, within our different IT organizations. In a more matrix organization rather than grow a huge central SRE organization. And I think that's very important to take advantage of that local expertise, because this is such a critical hands-on role. It's not something that you're going to be able to come in with a super standard technology playbook and make those differences felt.
Excellent. I think I love the passion and the energy that you put into create a team within the Nationwide, and as you rightly said, from 6 to 12, it's been a journey. Now, let our viewers know about what does a day-to-day SRE operating model look like? Because everybody wants to look at that blueprint of this SRE operating model. They cannot relate back. So how does your day-to-day SRE operating model look like in Nationwide?
Sure. And there's a few dimensions to that as well. I think most critically are those SREs that we have that are embedding in those application areas. So I'd like to say there's no wrong way to go about instrumenting or creating your SRE organization or this focus, that you will realize gains. From my own experience in operations, right? We're swamped. We're so responsive. It always felt like the one problem was eclipsing the next, and you never really got to fruition on one. Or if you did, you were ignoring the problems that were piling up or waiting for you in that backlog. So there's that element of getting into that space and allowing that operations team to get a little bit of their feet underneath them, and so they can get proactive. So that is a huge element of our day-to-day. A majority of our team are deeply embedded in those application areas, and they'll follow where the problems go. And that's also one of the challenges in a large organization, is oftentimes, the challenges are in the boundaries, or the challenges are in platforms that are built on platforms that are built on other systems. Some of the even just call hierarchies are insanely, very, very depth. They're talking 7-10 levels. And all of those have dispersed, different application teams or different technology stacks. And it's very hard to traverse one to basically say, hey, where's the root of this issue? So that is a huge element in our day-to-day, is those embedded SREs onboard just like developers onto those app teams. And if the problem surfaces in another direction, they follow it to that other direction. So there's a huge element of onboarding there. To say, all right, well, now I'm flipping technology stacks, I'm flipping assets, I may be even flipping organizations completely, or following down a SaaS vendor or something else, or even an AWS core component to understand, hey, why is this not working the way we expect? So there is a lot of following those issues, but at the core, it's onboarding like a developer, like an operations person on those teams. Then there's a few other dimensions that we do support to really just make our presence known across the enterprise. And one of the big things we don't want is anybody waiting for us to introduce reliability into their system. So there is a consulting arm that we take that is request-oriented. Or when things surface that we can follow that across the enterprise and say, hey, this is a common pattern. Let's help everybody across the enterprise get there. And that might be with some of the maturity of our platform, some of the just utilizing some of the capabilities of you know, especially the modern cloud stack, Kubernetes, making sure our liveness probes are tuned, readiness probes, you know, the ALB health checks are set properly. Those kinds of things can handle so much of those faults to at least avoid some of that reactionary production support. So we can get, you know, more proactive than on, all right, this is restarting a lot. Let's deal with that as that common cause rather than, you know, oh, I dialed in, I restarted, it's good, on to the next problem. And then the third dimension of our day-to-day is really the enterprise objectives. And those hark back to those maturity models or those level sets of say, hey, we want to see everybody with this level of instrumentation. We want to see everybody with our observability agent on their platform or some of those elements. Sometimes we get caught in the lowest common denominator there, and that's the pitfall. But it's definitely good to help lift the organization and to have those broad sweeps. And with our diverse technology stack, I mean, there's not a one size fit all. We simply can't do it for folks, but that can at least raise the bar for everybody and help take advantage of those capabilities I mentioned and those tools that exist. But that is three dimensions of our day-to-day, with the majority of it being on that deep embedded in that deep problem solving, that troubleshooting, along with the teams that's been their day-to-day, you know, that's their go-to, that's their focus in and out.
Great. I mean, that seems to be very powerful because you have a combination of both the embedded model, but it also, you talked about the consulting and request-based help, so that you're just not neck deep, but you're also helping and supporting the line of business units to appropriately cater to their needs and demands, right? So in terms of, and I know we have been coming a long way in the last 3 years, have there been challenges along the way? I mean, is there something that is strikingly, you know, pleasantly, you know, coming out from your side to say, you know, these are memories that I never forget in my life as part of an SRE whole journey?
Oh, no challenges. Perfectly smooth sailing. Of course, I'd be lying. I mean, even from our onset of being a team that helped with cloud migrations, shaking that off is to say, hey, we're not just a cloud migration team was even one of the first challenges, but it's certainly not the largest. You know, I mentioned before, the market's incredibly hot. We've had retention challenges. The entire team has turned over in the past 2.5 years. So we've lost some great talent, but I'm happy to say that we've invested and we've built back a great team as well. And one of the things we really focus on is that learning mindset, is that ability to grow. We're never going to hire talent that's going to cover all of our technology, all of our things, and be an expert day one. What I really strive to do is provide that air cover that our team can embed, can engage, and can learn and grow. To develop that expertise, within those stacks that they're engaged in, and continue that as we rotate around the enterprise. But certainly retention, attracting talent, all those things have been very real. The market is incredibly hot. I know I get hit up ridiculously on LinkedIn with these opportunities. I've talked to some peer groups who are trying to hire thousands of SREs. I think it's become such a hot commodity. And I also think it's become an and to a lot of job descriptions. So it layers on that it looks like there's and I mean, there legitimately is a lot of demand out there in industry. So that has been the foremost challenge, and even, you know, has caused some deep reflection myself as I took it very personal I've lost so many team members. I'm happy for the opportunities that they've found, and of course would welcome them back as we continue to seek to grow. But I also am very proud to invest in the talent that we do have. I we're doing great things, and the skill sets just continue to amaze me. But first and foremost is our ability to continue learning and that expectation that we're going to continue growing. And then the other dimension is this role takes a ton of grit, right? We're dealing with problem after problem after problem. It's sometimes easy to get caught in the negativity of that. So there is that element of, I call some of my team members that they won't come up for air until the problem is solved. And their findings, their documentation, their efforts, the postmortems they write up, have flavor, have such detail, very specific timelines, huge amounts of just things that we got lucky with or that we could have gone better. I mean, it's refreshing in that sense as a technologist at heart that I love to dig into that stuff. Sure. So that's probably the first and foremost is keeping the team positive, keeping the team growing, and keeping the team engaged when not all of our technology that we're going to partner with is necessarily that most cutting edge stuff. Of course, it's helpful to have that foundation and know where the future is going in any of our platforms, but we do have to meet teams where they're at, their technology stacks, and a lot of them are continuing to migrate into the more modern platforms, but we can't wait for that in introducing reliability and introducing instrumentation and introducing some of these core concepts.
Right. That's great, because I think to the point that you mentioned, sometimes I think SRE's role is a thankless job. Well, if everything goes fine, you don't need an SRE. If something is broken, I'll call the SRE at stake. But that's a very deep revelation that you talked about in terms of the challenges, the great resignation that we are all going through in terms of turnaround, attrition. Part of it becomes much more even intensive to retain the talent and also being motivated to do some of these work, considering that's all on a high fire zone and you cannot just... And there has to be an inherent passion to do certain kind of things, otherwise it doesn't really resonate well. So what drives the continued momentum and energy in this space, considering that there's so much different parameters? Every day is becoming challenging. The level of expectations are increasing way beyond what it is. So is there a kind of a secret sauce or plan of action, but you would say that to drive the continued momentum, energy moving forward?
By far the most is that showing of value, right? Our teams are problem solvers. Allowing them to solve problems in a way that is recognized, that a way that impacts the metrics that surface at the top of the house. It's not all about the metrics, but it's great, right? I mean, it's a great day for anybody when you can say, hey, I did this and I helped this happen. Certainly the numbers you mentioned are reduction in customer outages, our increase in coverage, our increase in confidence of what's happening in the production stack is hugely rewarding. I would be remiss if I didn't mention, but my senior leader has a LinkedIn series that's talking about some of the gains that we've made over the past 2 years. And it is extraordinary. And it's not just our team. I do want to stress that it's been a partnership across the organization, but this focus on reliability is really paying its dividends. The flip side of that, though, is one of my fears, especially as the world is in conflict and other things are happening and all this is like, all right, well, what if the numbers start to tick up the other direction? What if we start to shift the lever and, we push features in and we intentionally take some risks that cause these things to go awry? Is having that confidence of, hey, we know how to get back or we know how to respond to things when they go awry now, that it's not just, all right, we're reaching the end of the road and we can say we're done with reliability and, we don't need a site reliability engineering team anymore. We can reduce that focus versus this can be that continued practice to say, all right, these elements work. This is a strategy to get there, and it's a strategy to respond or continue that path. So it's not just about the numbers. It's not just about that end goal. And I think that helps the team as well, because there's a tremendous amount of nervousness of like, all right, did we get lucky with these numbers? Like what is driving all these? Because it's hard to tick and tie, especially at the enterprise level for such a small team to say, all right, is all of this our work? And what happens if this goes awry? Are we all going to be, all going to be, you know, sent to the Spanish Inquisition or something else along those lines. So I think just focusing on the gains that we've made and celebrating the numbers as they come, but not saying that is the end goal, that's the end all be all to it. But it does introduce, you know, the new challenges of you know, thankfully, and knock on wood, that, all right, how do we operate outside of a crisis? As these things start to go and our executive leaders start asking, are we done yet? Or should we change the scale on these graphs or some of those other elements to say, like, all right, that changes our mantra. That changes our way that we're going to have to, you know, engage with teams or even prioritize the teams that we engage with and how we operate day to day, because we might not have that just focus coming in the door. It's a new problem to have. I'm thankful for it. I'm not sure it's going to completely last, but that's okay. It's something we need to respond to and grow, because that is one of the other challenges with our team members coming in from the side, that, you know, and key to maintaining that day-to-day focus is it can very much feel like, all right, you're here to inspect the challenge or because I'm not doing something right. So it maybe is going to be a little bit less when we're less crisis focused, but we also lose some of the attention, the, you know, the momentum, the urgency without that. So I don't know that there's a magic, you know, answer to that day-to-day momentum, but I do think it's allowing people to solve problems and then making sure that they align and that we can understand what previous state was and what that means to the future state. I mentioned before that some of our instrumentation wasn't there, so errors weren't surfacing. And that's often something that we find is when we engage with an area, it actually, you know, according to our metrics, it's worse than it actually seemed before because we didn't understand when we were down or when we were having problems. And adding that instrumentation caused actually a little downtick before we even make improvements. And that can be disheartening for the team members as well. But understanding that that's part of the process, and you can't really improve something unless you understand it, unless you know it, unless you've got that baseline. So I think the secret sauce is just solving problems. And if you love to solve problems, I think this is an excellent role for you, regardless of where you operate within the ecosystem or technology stack.
I summarized very pretty well. I say that SRE should make tomorrow better than today. So I think your team is actually doing it that day in and day out to solve problems, find passion in helping each other, and also stretching themselves a little more farther to see how they can become more competent, more effective, more efficient. So as a part of closing remarks, Jason, what do you think about the future of SRE, and what do you would like to see solicit from the community at large?
Yeah. So I love hearing from the community how others have implemented. I've heard of various different implementation approaches, from more focus on the infrastructure side to more focus on platforms, even the rigor of SLOs and SLIs. I will admit that that's one of the pieces we do adopt. We're still challenged with that actually changing prioritization of the team. To say, hey, when you run out of error budget, now we slow releases, or we even dedicate more focus here. More often, I use the analogy that, we've exhausted our error budget. We haven't even set it. But I love hearing from the community. I love connecting with peers. So I welcome anybody reaching out to hear about the different styles, the pros and cons. I'm often jealous of some of the different dimensions I hear about. And I love sharing our success stories and some of the strategy that we've employed in adopting it here. I wish I had that magic radar that 5 years in advance, what are we going to look like as an organization, as a practice, as some of those dimensions. I don't have that, obviously, but I do think, you know, services are going to continue to consume the world. The complexity is going to be bubbled up into that application stack. I think starting there and going down is going to be key, and enabling our application teams, to work in that, abstracting it as much as possible for them, right? Making all those capabilities as simple as possible is really, really the passion. But as I continue to dig in myself, there's always times that things go awry, no matter how trusted your partners or how, you know, trusted your assets, your services. So having that energy, that vigor to go in those details. It will never go out of style, I'd say. But I'm very curious how others are finding success with this role, with the market for talent, and then even, you know, what that looks like for, you know, continuing to reward our outcomes, you know, once we get outside of the crisis. That's a very real thing that I think hopefully many others are going to start to experience as they adopt these practices. And it introduces a whole different paradigm to potentially our day-to-day, our engagement model, and just our relationship with executives when they're not, you know, calling us in the middle of the night to say, hey, help us fix this.
Excellent. So that was a phenomenal session, Jason. Very passionate Cytolab engineer. You just have motivated a lot of people who are watching this episode about, wow, I want to be an SRE. And if I'm an SRE, I should take pride in what I'm doing across, because there's so much of valuable insights that you've shared in that last 20, 22 minutes. And I hope the viewers will find it useful. Thank you so much for taking time and sharing your insights. And I look forward to seeing other practitioners coming along and sharing experience in the future podcasts.
Awesome. Thank you. So glad to be here. And I'll definitely be watching for those future broadcasts.
Excellent. Thank you so much again.